wanted to share with you the inspiration for today's message came directly from the music selection that Dave and Ray had already designed for today's service. As I saw the prelude in the title, "As I See His Mighty Work Displayed," certainly a reminder to me that I was feeling the desire to speak about the awesomeness of God and to speak about how often maybe we don't even really realize, sometimes even think about, how amazingly awesome God is. And so their music led me to this direction for today's message. And I do hope that today, through this experience and this message, that you do experience and begin to think a little bit, maybe differently or more deeply, about how amazing our God is. And that I hope that that will help us also develop more of a confidence that He is able to hold on to us and able to hold us together no matter what our life circumstances are. And so I hope that you'll sit back today and just kind of absorb the amazingness of God as I try to point that out to us. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? Gracious and holy God, I just pray this day that this message may help each and every one of us to encounter you in fresh and big ways. And Lord, we just want an opportunity to just experience how great you are beyond even our own life here on earth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Start out with saying that there are billions of galaxies, and I want to begin with just mentioning one of them that is close to the Milky Way, and that galaxy is called the Whirlpool Galaxy, and I'm pretty sure that the appliances like dishwashers and aren't made there, but it's just called the Whirlpool Galaxy. And today, through a kind of an astronomy lesson, I hope that that helps us to experience God's greatness. And why wouldn't we look to astronomy to find God? Because the God is the one who created this great galaxy that's called the Whirlpool Galaxy, and it's also known as the darling of astronomy, and actually it sits perpendicular to the Earth. And when we look up at it, we get this absolutely beautiful picture like we see before us, and that's that galaxy. And in fact, the big piece is the main galaxy, and it's actually in process of engulfing another galaxy also. The Whirlpool Galaxy is 31 million light years away from where you are sitting right now. 31 million light years away. And in case you forgot, the story in Scripture begins like this. God created the heavens and the earth and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then light came out of God's mouth, traveling 186,000 miles a second, because that's how fast light travels through the universe. And a light year is how fast or how far light travels in 1 year. So let me do the math for you. It's 5.88 trillion miles. That's a light year. So when we're in the neighborhood of God and talking about God and measurements, we can put away our yardsticks or our rulers or our tape measures, because we're not dealing in inches and feet. We're dealing in light years, because that's His measurement, and it's 5.88 trillion miles long. So if you want to travel to the to this galaxy, to the Whirlpool Galaxy, go ahead, be my guest. All you have to do to figure it out is multiply 31 million, because that's how many light years it is away from us, by 5.88 trillion miles, and that's the distance you'll need to cover. I don't know how many vacation days you have to take to get that done, but I know it's got to be a few. And this is just to remind us, to begin to remind us how big and enormous our God is. This God that we sing about, this God that we worship, He created this. He's bigger than anything that we can ever dream of. He's bigger really than our wildest imagination. And if you look at the Whirlpool Galaxy, it's really pretty amazing. And we have those opportunities because of the Hubble Space Telescope as it circles the Earth and it sends us these images. And if you look into the core of that, the Whirlpool Galaxy, there's not only inside that white hole, there's also a black hole. We never really had seen it before Hubble began to take pictures, and you can check these on NASA's site on hubble.org. But they sent us this image. And there it is. That's the picture inside that black hole. And that's the glory of God. It's the grandness of God. It's the grace of God and the mercy of God. And everywhere we look, it's there. The handprint of God is there throughout all of creation, everywhere that we turn. Now let's leave the Whirlpool Galaxy and let's come more into our galaxy and into the Milky Way. And today what I'd like us to do is just briefly look at four of our stars. Now in our galaxy, there's anywhere from 200 to about 400 billion stars. So we're only going to consider a few of them. And the first one's pretty easy because it's the sun. And the sun really is more ferocious than we ever really think. It's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on its surface. But I want to show us how big the sun is. It's 93 million miles away. So if you're looking up in the sky, it's a pretty good way out there. And by the way, it travels at 186,000 miles a second. So it only takes 8 seconds to cover that 93 million mile journey so that the sun rays touches your skin here in Carmel, Indiana. But I want you to even think more about the size of it. The sun is a million times the size of the earth. And so when we hear those words of the psalmist in Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Our God is a star-breathing God. It's crazy to think that he just created all of this. He just breathes out all these galaxies and all of these stars. Today I thought, while we're going to talk about a little bit of astronomy, I thought to kind of keep things in perspective that I'd use a visual. So I brought today, or borrowed from my son-in-law, a golf ball. And so I want this golf ball for us today to represent the Earth. And just imagine that you're just one of these little spots here on this golf ball. So if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, then the sun would be the diameter of about 15 feet. And I'm thinking that 15 feet behind me probably is about the length of that entire screen there. So if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, there it is in comparison to the sun. Do you feel little? Do you see how big all of that is? If I put things even further in perspective, the sun is so big that you could put 960,000 Earths inside the sun. It's huge. And the scripture says we worship this star-breathing God. Let's take a look at a second star. And this star is called Betelgeuse. And it really is pronounced Betelgeuse. It doesn't look particularly ferocious, but it's 427 light years away. So that is 427 times 5.88 trillion miles away from us right now. And Betelgeuse is twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. It's crazy big. So if the Earth were a golf ball, Betelgeuse would be the height of 6 Empire State Buildings. 6. Sal, anybody been to the Empire State Building? Anybody been? Okay. So, if you haven't, what you would need to do is gather your family, get some airline tickets, take a golf ball, and take a plane and fly to New York, and then go to Midtown, and then you're going to take your golf ball, and you're going to put it on the sidewalk right outside the Empire State Building, and don't even think that anybody's going to think you're crazy doing that, because they won't even notice you in New York. But then you need to go across the street, and then you need to look up at the Empire State Building and imagine that there were 5 more Empire State Buildings on top of that one, and that's Betelgeuse. And that's the Earth, the golf ball, that you are on the ground. That's the size difference. That's something that God did, that God created. So if the Earth were a golf ball, and we're talking about Betelgeuse, there would be enough golf balls to fill up the Superdome with golf balls. Ready for this? 3,000 times. That's how big this star is. Okay, let's look at a third star. Let's go a little bit bigger. And this star is called Musifei. Musifei is in your slide, is the star up there, the gold star up in the top. It used to be called Herschel's Granite Star. And I want you to check this out on the size of this one. If the earth were a golf ball, Musifi would be the size of two Golden Gate bridges, end to end. That's how big that star is. So we can take another trip. This time we can go out west. Go to San Francisco with your family and take your golf ball. Place that golf ball at the start of the Golden Gate Bridge. Go across the bay into Oakland to a high place where you could see the entire span of the Golden Gate Bridge. And imagine yet another Golden Gate Bridge right next to it. And then that entire span of those two Golden Gate Bridges, and there's your golf ball. And that's the Earth compared to that star. That star is so big that you can fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside that one star. Do you see how big things are getting? I don't even know. I had to even pause and think, what is a quadrillion? I mean, maybe lots of people know what a million is, but then go from there. A billion is 1,000 million, and a trillion is 1,000 billion, and a quadrillion is 1,000 trillion. So here, let's kind of put those in perspective. 1 million seconds ago, it was 12 days ago. A trillion seconds ago, we may think, oh, it might be, guess the 1800s, but you're way off. A trillion seconds ago was 29,700 BC. A quadrillion seconds ago is 30,800,000 years ago. Musifi is so big that you can put 2.7 quadrillion Earths in this one star. God created that. And that's not even the biggest star. The biggest star found in our galaxy is Canis Majoris, and I guess they kind of call that one the big dog. So you see, if the Earth were a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest. So on this trip, you need to go to Kathmandu, Nepal. And it's almost at 6 miles above sea level. And go to the highest point. Unzip your parka. And then put your golf ball down there. You could fit 7 quadrillion Earths inside of that star. That's enough Earths that if the Earth were a golf ball, it would take enough golf balls to cover the entire state of Texas in golf balls 22 inches deep. Maybe this journey through the solar system can help us to understand the vastness and the wonderfulness of who God is and what God has created. Just a little journey through our solar system. And everyone, I'm sure, knows our planets and how we fit in. See, we're not even the biggest deal. We're not even the biggest deal planet in our solar system. And you have to know that as Earth goes by, that we truly live on a very privileged planet. And then Neptune and then Saturn goes by. And Jupiter. All God's creations. Cirrus comes by. Guess I'm a little fast. There's the sun. There's Sirius. Sirius, I guess a plug for satellite radio. It's not the biggest star, but it's the brightest star. Pollux. Arcturus. Rigel. I mentioned this one. Betelgeuse. Musifi, West Musifi, I guess they're cousins, I don't know, I'm guessing. Didn't know why they didn't come up with another name. And finally, the big one, the big dog, Canis Majoris. But I hope that as we look into that universe, that we realize that we worship an unrevealed, uncontested God of all power and might and glory and awe, and that there is no other like him in all of creation. We here worshiping this great God, we're the teeny tiny ones. We're small and we're weak and we're fragile and we're frail. And we, each one of us, we're just one of 6.5 billion people on this small golf ball sized planet we call Earth. And it's this massive universe that God created. But I'll tell you what miracle is crazy for today. It's that though we are a vapor, you and me, and we're tiny and we're frail, but we are marked by majesty, and we've been created in the image of this God who put this universe into place. And we, you and I, were fashioned and were formed by God of all creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, you and I. We're a miracle. You're a miracle sitting here in this pew. So let me dial back to the beginning, leaving perhaps astronomy, but talk a little bit about anatomy and how you happen. It took one cell from your mom and one cell from your dad, and I'm not going to say much more about that. Each cell carried 23 chromosomes, half of them from mom and half of them from your dad, and then these two cells merged and made a single cell, and then they formed together to brand a new DNA using four characters, four nucleotides, and they begin to write out what we have discovered is the 3 billion character description of who you are written in the language of God. They wrote out your DNA, your human genome of 3 billion characters is made up of those four simple nucleotides. And when they did it, they describe who God intended you to be in that one little cell. And scientists say if you took that, the DNA out of that one cell, and then if you stretched it out, that DNA would be 6 feet long. And there would be 3 billion characters as a part of that 6 foot long piece. And so amazing that if I were to spend the time to read your DNA, one character at a time, per second, night and day, that it would take me 96 years to read the description of just you. And when they formed together, they wrote out and they presented a picture that was never written before and never will be again written in the history of humankind. And then that cell did the unthinkable thing, and it began to build your model from one cell. So I'm telling you, you're a miracle sitting here today, a miracle of God's. And you've come a long way. Here you are at 3 days old. It picked a magnification of 16 cells that are sitting on the tip of a pen. 75 trillion cells that make up your body today. And every one of those trillion cells contains the 6 feet of the 3 billion character of DNA that becomes you. There's so much DNA in your body that if you stretched it from end to end, there would be enough DNA to go to the moon and back 178,000 times. God created you. 75 trillion cells are in your body, and I tell you that about 50,000 of your cells die regularly, and they're replaced even by new cells. And this happens every second of every day and every night of your existence. And you wonder why you're tired all the time. You're doing some amazing things night and day. We're miracles, you and me. I love the way Augustine, one of the fathers of the church, said this. Men go abroad to wonder at the height of mountains, the huge waves of the sea, the long course of rivers, the vast compass of the ocean, the circular motion of the stars, but they pass by themselves and they don't even notice. Miracles happen every moment. And here you are at 5 months. Those were the good old days. And he knows your name. He knows every single thing that there is to know about you. And he has made you as he promised. For those who will trust in him, he will literally hold them in his hand and carry them all the days of your life. That's power and that's awe. But now let's get real personal. From heaven, the Lord looks down and he sees all of mankind from his dwelling place, and he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of everyone is intimately acquainted with everything that we do. The psalmist reminds us the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love, and here comes the promise, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive. That's the promise today, because our world is filled with hurting people. People whose lives are spinning out of control, and people who are in pain we didn't even ask for, could ever imagine, and that's the way our life is. But God is making a promise to us. And he says to us, I am a universe maker, and I am a heart former, but I am also big enough to be ultimately acquainted with all the circumstances of your lives. And I promise you, no matter what comes in this lifetime, no matter how difficult the road, no matter how dark the night, I will hold on to you, and I will literally hold you together and carry you through any and every circumstance that ever comes your way. And that's the promise of our God to us. And you say, that sounds good, but how do I know that in my own life right now? Well, I'm going to tell you that, how it works, that God will always hold you together. And again, I'm going to turn to anatomy. We need to look deeper into the human body, and we need to look at a protein molecule that's called laminin, and it's not laminate like is on the floor, but laminin. Laminin is a cell adhesion molecule, and it's a cell adhesion molecule that tells the body what its job is to do. It's holding all of your membranes together right now. It's the glue of your human body, and you all have laminin. Just go ahead and Google it when you get home. Don't do it now on your phones. I'm going to tell you what you're going to find out. You're going to find that there's a scientific diagram that describes what laminin looks like, and that this is what that scientific diagram of laminin looks like. Isn't that crazy? Now, even I want to show you how even crazier it is, because now I want you to see an actual electronic image of a laminin cell. That's in your body. Isn't it crazy that that's what holding us together? That's what holds together the lining of your organs, that holds your skin on in such a perfect shape. And certainly reminds us of the words of Paul to the Colossians, as he said, I can't help but remember, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So, whenever you're at a roughest spot or place in life, how can you know that God is going to hold you together and God is going to bring you through? Well, you can know it, because there is a cross that's standing over his dream, and it looks over this sanctuary where the star breather became the sin bearer, where the universe maker became mankind's savior. And it's proof that God doesn't always change circumstances. He didn't change them for Jesus on the hillside outside of Jerusalem. But the cross is also proof that God always has a purpose in the circumstances, and that his purpose and his plan will prevail and will triumph through any circumstances in this world. Maybe I do believe that God is big enough to make the world and make me, and I accept that God gave up his son on a cross. But what I really want to know right now, what really matters to me, does God see what I'm going through right now? Does he see what I'm carrying? Does he know what I need? And the prophet Isaiah answers that question. Did you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He is huge. He's a star breather. He's so big. But listen to what he loves to do. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. For even youths will grow tired and weary. Your men will stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord, and another translation of that is those who wait upon the Lord. That Hebrew word for hope and wait means that those who stand right in the middle of the craziness, right in the midst of pain, right in the midst of whatever life is, right in the midst of a valley of a shadow of death, and they don't gloss over it. They're dealing with the toughest stuff that there is, but standing right in the middle of those times, they say, I don't see what God is doing. I don't understand what the pain is. But I tell you one thing, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on God. I'm going to stand right here in the middle of this moment, and I'm going to trust him and that he is on his throne and that he has a purpose for my life and a plan for my life. And I believe that I am going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, and I'm not going to stop believing no matter what. And that's what it means to wait and hope. So here's the promise. You're going to wake up to rosy circumstances. No. Though God can do that, the promise is greater than that. He said that those who wait upon the Lord, he will give you strength. And when you think you can't take one more breath, he says, I'll give you enough, and you will feel like you've been swept up on the wings of eagles, and you will run, and you won't get weary, and you'll walk through it all, and you won't faint. He said, I will hold you. Even when you let go of me, I'm not going to let go of you. And did you know that there are millions and millions of microscopic crosses holding you together right now? We will be carried by a universe-making God. And that is the promise of the everlasting God. So can you see? And can you realize how amazing and awesome and unbelievable our God is? Words of appreciation to Ray for his help with my message today and work with the numbers from Louis Giglio. But what I want us to do is, in a closing prayer today, I want it to be a closing prayer of us, acknowledging that greatness of our God. And so I'd like you to sing with me twice, how great is our God? Sing with me. How great, great is, how great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? How great, how great. Remain standing, sing our closing hymn for today.